this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
I want them to use like wireless energy, do like Tron like stuff, and have them like glowing.
But what do you want? You want them wearing like laser tag outfits?
Why does everything have to be so retro?
It's better.
It's still not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, do not attempt to adjust your internet. This is Three in the Box, your Minnesota hockey podcast that we also drink beer to. And this is the Meat Beast. To my right is a bald-headed piece of work known as Aaron.
Yo.
And hiding behind two different computer screens across from me, of course, is Kenny.
There's only supposed to be one, but... And by the way, thank you for getting me out of the damn leader chair, because, last week was not fun.
It was a train wreck.
Multiple train wrecks. Derailment.
Sitting behind me in the leader chair that Kenny is referring to, our control booth, as it were, our producer, Jive Midnight.
How's it going tonight?
Going well. Thank you very much for asking, Jive.
All right.
All right, so I actually have missed the first two episodes of the actual season. I was here for the preseason show. Apparently, I got distracted by some vodka in Russia and lost my passport. So I'm finally back, though.
You and Snowden snuck back into the country, huh?
No, I didn't. I did not find Snowden. why did you have to disclose my secret mission?
Oh, shit. Oh, so everything becomes a little more clear now.
All right, yes, the Meat Beast is an international man of mystery, but what's not a mystery is the Gophers men's hockey.
Yeah, I mean, we're off to a great start, 4-0 on the season, is that
nice.
Right? Yeah, undefeated.
They were pounding some beavers this past weekend.
and now ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
They kind of killed them.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even close. Combined score of 11-4 over the weekend.
Ouch.
On a Friday night, the Gophers beat Bemidji 6-3. Wilcox gave up three goals, but two of them were on the power play, so I'll cut them a little slack there. Gopher goals by Fashing, Boyd, Sam Warning, Marshall, and Condon, and then an empty netter by Connor Riley to top things off.
Spreading the wealth.
No, yeah, it's definitely been a season of everyone's getting a little bit of everything, and even a lot of the freshmen, the young guys, they're getting goals too. So it's really just been a plethora of scoring chances.
And when are these guys going to enter the draft?
Well,
possibly
soon as next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Condon goes next year, or this end of this year, this next draft.
Yep. Yeah. Wouldn't be surprising. Did we cover both nights then?
No, just Friday. So just Friday. Saturday night, they ended up pounding the Beavers again, 5-1. Warning this time has two goals with Camerata, Mike Riley, and Clues also getting goals. Warning had just a killer weekend.
Well, and like I said, number one right now, also staying on top of everything overall with the Big Ten move, which is something we weren't necessarily expecting. We were a little more concerned, even though we were moving into what we were considering an easier.
Well, and it's got to be noted, though, that they haven't had a intra-conference game yet.
No, they have not. And the teams that they've been playing, they've just kind of been tromping all over.
Right. I mean, outside of New Hampshire, which I think were number 12 at the time, They haven't faced anyone ranked.
Was Mercyhurst ranked?
No.
Originally?
Nope.
No, that was New Hampshire, the championship game for the icebreaker tourney.
Yep. So they haven't faced anyone ranked, but, you know, I think that's going to change next weekend.
First, I also want to say this, though. I am cheesed. Very cheesed.
Cheesed, eh?
That,
in Wisconsin?
We were promised that the rivalries would still have at least a game. Not necessarily a home and away, not necessarily a full weekend or anything, but some of the old WCHA rivalries.
Sure.
Gophers are not playing the Sioux this year unless I'm sorely mistaken.
What?
Let me confirm this.
Yeah, go ahead and confirm that. But I know this coming weekend, They are playing BC.
Wow, you totally aren't kidding, are you?
No, I'm not kidding, and I'm a little pissed off.
What?
I was actually hoping it was going to be on the road, and I'd get an excuse to go up to Ralph Engelstead while it's still Ralph Engelstead Arena and watch that classic rivalry. I want to find out if the bubble hockey tables in Ralph Engelstead now no longer have Gophers as the opposing team.
Wow.
That is some major BS right there. I mean, old rivalries, we got, what, Minnesota State, Minnesota Duluth, Wisconsin's in Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really, you're going to bring up
Cloud
the Badgers.
State. Well,
they do have the North Star College Cup, which is where we hit St. Cloud State
and Duluth.
And Duluth.
But no Sioux.
No Sioux. Wow.
That is very disappointing. That was
no
one...
Dak, no attack.
Ugh.
What?
Ouch.
Anybody else just feel their soul fall out a little bit? I can't believe you guys didn't know this already.
No, that's...
There is a reason I'm on this show. It's not just a
I was convinced we were going to play
paper.
Them. So it was
something we were promised, is that the old rivalries we'd still have at least one game with, and it might be an intro conference where we do like North Dakota, then Duluth, and then come home.
Or like the North Star Cup where four teams are in town and everyone plays each other, you know?
Exactly. That was we were told that was going to end. That is not the case.
Wow. That's
very disappointing. To be quite honest, I'm not happy with that.
Hopefully we see that amended next
year. So what, is it going to be every other year, like your old rivalries, you get half of 1 year, half the next?
Who knows? This will be something that we'll have to try and post to, say, the collegiate board of whatever the hell it is.
Absolutely.
And maybe, you know, try and see if we can talk to Coach Lucia and see his feelings on it.
Well,
but,
I suppose it's a logistics thing. I mean, there's only so many teams you can play. And
I suppose with the Big Ten Network, you can't get all your old rivalries back.
No, you've got to play the Big Ten teams.
Right. So it's a numbers game at that point.
But who do they have playing coming up that's neither a Big Ten or an old rivalry?
Yeah, but is... WCHA, unless I'm sorely mistaken, which I did say a few seconds ago while you guys were fact-checking, Boston College at home Friday night and Saturday afternoon.
So
and number five, so their first real ranked team.
The first time they get tested.
Yeah.
Because, Big Ten, they might be good for football.
BC is not Big Ten.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
They're playing, they're getting their first test, so...
Now I smell what you're cooking.
But since we're on the Gopher beat, let's change sides a little, and I'll talk about the Gophers women.
All right.
Who are riding a historic streak right now. They win it on Friday. They beat UMD 4-0. Their second shutout in a row. Just a really great game.
A sophomore, their sophomore goalie, Amanda LaVille, she made 26 saves in her second straight shutout. At that point, she was riding 168 minutes and 57 seconds of scoreless against the Gophers women.
And, you know, she's really just picked up where Nora Roddy left off.
Absolutely.
You know?
She's been amazing.
Wow.
So for
the Gophers women, he meant there.
For the Gophers,
yeah, he said against. just wanted to clarify.
No,
that.
No, goals. Yeah.
Well, on Saturday it wasn't much
goals
different.
Against.
Playing UMD again, 6-3. It wasn't a shutout, but 6-3. So the winning streak is now at 55 games for the Gophers women.
It's insane.
Just crushing. But. Then again, how many solid women's hockey programs are there out there? There are a handful.
Yeah, I think the Gophers women are going to be on a tear for the next at least year or two before that program starts spreading. But
I'm going to argue there's going to be 5 years that they're still going to be. There's going to be between them and maybe one other team out of the other three schools that have solid women's programs.
Right.
I mean, speaking of the program, I mean that game alone with a 6-3 win, 8 Gophers recorded points, including 7 of them had multi points. I mean, it's just an absolute like it was spreading the wealth to the nth degree. And that's including freshman Danny
Cameronese
from Plymouth.
Yeah.
She got 3 points. She got 2 goals and an assist. And then senior Kelly Terry got 3 points also with 1 goal and 2 assists.
And we should note that Danny was named Player of the Week for the Gophers women team. And nice. For a freshman, kind of a nice thing to see. Yeah.
And if you look at the Gophers on the weekend, both men and women's, that's 21-7 that they outscored their opponents.
Wow.
That is
That's
lovely right there.
That's just...
And all against in-state competition on top of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lovely.
Well, speaking of in-state competition, it's the girls' turn to go pound some beavers this week coming up. And, hopefully they just, beat the living crap out of those beavers
up
in Bemidji.
Okay. Friday, are they Saturday. Heading up to Bemidji then?
They are heading up to Bemidji.
Just making sure. Just making sure.
So, yeah, the beavers can get a pounding at home.
Okay.
So,
Jive, do you got anything on the Gophers? You're sitting back there all quiet and just kind of...
I think Kenny's got it covered.
Well, he's got the beaver pounding covered anyway.
Maybe.
So I think it's about time for some wild talk.
Yes.
So, beginning of the wild week, they had 3 games this week. First game, they lose to the Lightning, 1-3. It's first game of a abbreviated road trip. A little Florida swing. Koivu scores his first goal of the season. That accounts for the 1 goal.
Yeah, and it was a gorgeous goal. And just
yeah,
a nice,
was.
He was run down the center lane nicely and picked up the pass quick to just drop it right in the net. And a lot of traffic that he was fighting through, but was just he and the goalie already out of position. Well,
Harding, I mean, had a hell of a game, but he was all over the place. I mean, Lightning's first goal, it was just nice. There was no D to even stop the puck because it was just clean cross-ice pass.
There was a fast break, 2-on-1, of Stamkos and Martin Saint-Louis just breaking down the ice, had him split, had the pass clear through
on
the defenseman.
On a power play on top of it.
On a power play on top of it, pass clear through the defenseman easily. The defenseman could not get back enough to get the stick in. Harding still managed to flip his whole body around and block the other side of the net on the quick one-timer.
Yeah, and the Lightning's second goal, I mean, Stamkos just beat Harding top shelf. What really kind of bums me, though, is that third goal, that empty netter that was shot from the top of the circle on the other side of the ice.
Well, yeah. But it's
that's
empty
how
netter.
Empty netters go in.
Yeah.
Are you going to complain about the Coyotes goalie getting an empty netter and getting a goal this last week?
No, that's actually kind of funny.
But it was
fan. It's a good show.
It was a very clean shot. From the goal line, from the crease, anyway.
Hey, yeah, that's a risk you run when you pull your goalie. I mean,
no, it is, but I mean, just the amount of traffic that puck went through,
sure,
hit the net.
So. Okay.
All right. So then on the 19th, which would have been Saturday night,
correct?
Oh man, shootout, ugly. Wild lose 1-2 in the shootout. Harding just did not look on top of his game. I normally would prefer Harding in a shootout over Backstrom any day of the week, and he got beat.
Let's face it, shootouts have been the bane of the Wild's existence this year.
Well, they've been the bane of the Wild's existence since the shootouts came into play.
Not necessarily. They were able to do about 50-50 on them, but this year we're running a percentage rate of 0, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I'm gonna say that actually the real disappointment of this game is that the Wild were winning up until the last 6 minutes, 7 minutes of the game, and they give up a goal, power play, and now it's a shootout. You know, they cruise through overtime, nothing happens, get a shootout, and then things fall apart.
Quick check on, say, the home opener and the other, three shootouts that we've had? Two shootouts that we've had. All the shootouts we've gone to have been a last-minute goal to tie it up.
Yeah,
and push it into overtime. Nothing happens in overtime, and go to the shootout.
Actually, we're looking pretty decent in OT. Thomas was just a beast.
Yeah, I mean,
Thomas is a beast.
Well, the whole road
he found
trip.
God,
the whole road trip. It's been they're out shooting everyone like nobody's business, and they can't seal the freaking deal, you know?
Yeah, that's, and eventually it's...
It's like me at a bar.
Oh, yeah! Oh, wow. I didn't think he'd actually admit to that, but hey. where was I going on that thread?
They can't seal the deal.
Okay, so yeah, like the last two seasons, we've started and struggled and basically stayed in the mix in our division entirely due to the fact that we'd take it to overtime.
Yeah.
If you think back the last couple of years,
yeah,
we start off rocky, not close in the deal at all, but getting enough points from taking it to overtime.
Right. And I mean, yes, it's great that at least we escaped with a point. But to be leading with 7 minutes left in the game and don't lose a point in that last 7 minutes, that stinks.
Exactly. And also, I don't know about you guys, but I was actually kind of trying to keep my excitement down after the whole half season, part season, whatever you want to call last year, asterisk season. And my hatred, like, I kept my excitement down until opening night. And then I started listening to the names getting ripped off, like getting read off the sweaters and going, oh, God, that's right. We actually do have a team.
We do.
Which makes me cringe a little more when this happens.
Well, I think that actually, I know we don't have it on our set list here, but I think that actually is a good question, though, is right now we're barely over 500. Last year was barely over 500. Yo's first year was barely over 500.
Why'd you say Yo in there?
I'm just going to say, where does Yo stand? I mean,
we got rid of Richards in less time.
In less time. And, you know, when the team is...
You're asking where he stands. I'm telling you, his ass is on the chopping block soon.
Well, do we think they'll make playoffs this year? Definitely.
And does it actually get to the end of the season,
though? Is Fletcher going to let him get all the way? I don't think so. I really think his ass is getting on the line real quick if things don't turn around.
I'm going
to go on record saying, yeah, he's ready to just get the axe right upside his head.
I mean, we're 8 games in. 10
Nine,
games.
10. 10 Wild or 10 games in?
10 games in. And how many of those games have they led in shots?
All of them.
I want to say it's all of them.
I could be wrong on that.
It might be one or two, but it's most of the games they've led in shots, and not even by a small margin, but a commanding lead.
Well, there were times that they were up 16 shots to 3, 24 shots to 3.
The Toronto game is a prime example.
It totally is. At what point does Yo, at what point is he put on the block and go, you know, you're the one who's not, you know, making this happen?
We've got the names. We've got people who know how to find the twine, and they've proven it. Yeah. What's going wrong with this scenario?
The one thing that I would suggest looking at is, yes, you may be out shooting the other team, but how many quality chances are there? I mean,
scoring chance-wise, they're getting about double the other teams every game as well.
Well, okay, so the game we're talking about right now, Thomas, 31 saves, 1 goal against. Harding, 22 saves, 1 goal against. I mean, that's... out shooting by almost a third.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, granted, Thomas had some amazing saves, and so did Harding by any standpoint. But
sure.
Where was the D at the end of the third?
The Lightning game was possibly the closest amount of shots, 26 to 29.
Yeah.
On the saves made, or shots against, sorry.
Yeah. It.
But still, it needs to be quality chances. You know, you got to catch a goaltender off of his game. You can't be just shooting straight on.
Yeah, but how many games can we face when the goalie is having the game of their life? It seems like we're always facing those goalies when they're playing out of their mind every single week.
Or are they playing out of their mind?
Well, that is the bigger question, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Good God. I'm going to bring it into the next game because it actually ties this conversation totally ties into something I need to bring up because of the game against the Predators. When Harding finally got a shutout.
Yay.
Can I get an amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All the children's be saved. Harding stand on his head again and shutout. Pekka Rinne also playing a great game. But he sucks dick on the road. Pardon my language.
Yeah, Well,
if you look at his record, his road record is horrible.
He still only gave up one goal.
Two.
One.
No, yeah. Because one was an empty
netter. One was an empty netter. You're right. Yep. He only gave up one goal. But
I wouldn't say one goal is it sucking the D. So.
No, but if you look at his road record.
28 saves.
It's nothing to scoff at, except for the fact that when you look at it, his road record is less than a third wins, whereas home record is closer to 80%.
Well, you know, Parisi picked up a couple more points that game, too, with two assists.
I think the bigger thing is, Harding gets the shutout. That now means he's played in eight games, and he's given up one goal even strength. Wrap your mind around that.
Yeah.
One goal.
Our backup goalie.
Which
I gotta say right now that
Harding is our number one because
I would like to think so.
Either that or Yo's gonna do his normal thing and grind him into the ground until he's burnt out, and then Backstrom can come in cold and then give up goals.
You know, I think my honest opinion
Backstrom looked good for a minute and then still end up being cold, so he can't make the amazing saves.
Right.
I would say your number one goalie and your backup goalie, play them 2-1.
Sure.
Two games for your all-star, one game for your backup. Keep your backup loose, keep your backup going. But you also want your number one goalie to get the ice time because there's a reason he's your number one goalie.
You're basing that off a three-game week, I'm assuming.
No, just in general. Just a regular 2-1 ratio. Maybe a 3-1 ratio.
Just basically like a rotation like you would see like a baseball.
I'd
argue
weekly you make sure the backup goalie skates once.
Hockey has its own science and strategy. For every play, there's
whether they got five games, whether they got four, whether they got three or two.
But they're not
the
doing that now.
Plays once.
So, I mean, how many games now is...
We're back down to like a 3 or 4 game week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, yeah, either a 2-1 or a 3-1 ratio. But like you were saying, Josh, about once a week, just enough to keep your goalies in rotation.
And have to face the shots.
Rest your number one so he doesn't get burned out and keep your number two warm so he doesn't get cold.
I mean, even if that was one game every other week... But we don't. What we've seen out of Yo is that's not the case.
No.
He does run the goalie into the ground, and he only pulls him out if they've already turned into a sieve or if they got injured.
Right. I mean, he did try at the Toronto game. He had Kemper starting, He tried to give Harding a break. But now since Harding had to come into that game, he played in Buffalo. He played against Dallas, I think. Yeah, he played against Dallas. I think he's going on a 5-game in a row, 6-game in a row,
We need to get Backstrom.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
Actually, no, I think he's on an 8-game streak.
Yeah.
He's on an 8-game streak because he had to come in on Nashville for Backstrom.
Yeah.
So he's eight games in a row now he's played.
He's played not necessarily the full games, but he's played.
Right. And, when you got Harding or Backstrom that's back and he's healthy, why not start him?
At least give him a game.
We got a couple other highlights for this game, and also lowlights for the upcoming foreseeable future.
Let me at least give one more
Yoism
while we're piling on Yo.
Because we are doing a let's dump a load on Yo.
Yo. Hey, Yo.
So I think another big question about Yo is why is he not doing a healthy scratch of Danny Heatley? Heatley has been terrible.
No kidding.
You don't need to waive him because they're not going to waive him. He makes too much and no one's going to pick him up. So that's fair, But at a certain point, you had to go. You know what? You just need to sit a night because he's slow. He's turning up in the neutral zone. So much.
When he's in the offensive zone, he has made some good plays out of the bit I've seen. But I agree with you. I totally agree with you on everything on the neutral zone. I will say that he has had some good highlight reel moments in the offensive zone when he finally gets his slow ass in there.
Not this year, though. This year,
this last week, even. Looking at the game.
Still doesn't have a goal.
No, I'm saying he's making great plays.
He's got
plays.
One assist, two assists right
I think
now?
He's got one assist, if I remember correctly.
I didn't say he was scoring goals. He's certainly not necessarily at the potential we expected him to be
so
at.
So you're saying he's got highlight reel chances.
Yeah.
Maybe he's great on the defensive end.
Well, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Let's see. What's going on?
Shut up! And we already, like preseason, we already talked about my issue with Heatley.
You know, he's right at this point, he's my new Tom Gilbert.
Don't get me wrong. I think he is a great player. I think
he might
be a little old.
He's sitting at two assists right now. He's only a minus one, which isn't horrible compared to some of the other players out there.
Right.
But, 17 shots in 10 games.
He's not a factor. I mean, it really was what it comes down to.
He's not the person that we certainly meant to, that we did sign.
For Havlat.
Right.
Getting rid of Havlat, yeah.
And he's getting paid an awful lot to do not a whole lot at this point.
We could free up some space and get the...
It cost us three people because we couldn't option him off.
Right.
Was it Shea Weber? No. Whose contract is up in Buffalo this year?
You're thinking of Vanek.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Let's get rid of Heatley, free up that space, and let's sign Vanek. Because, you know, Vanek wants to play with his good old buddy Jason Palmaville.
Well, and also...
And come back home.
Also end up playing with Parisi and Suter again as
and
well.
Come back home.
And be like, hey, wow, it's like we're in college all over again, except now we get paid.
It's a good show.
And we're all on the same team this time.
Yes. All right, and... There were a couple of other fun things from that Predators game. Let's see.
Well, not necessarily fun, but Brodin.
Yeah, Brodin. Yeah.
Took a puck to the face in the first.
He's out indefinitely with a broken cheekbone.
Yikes. That is going to...
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
I don't know if... I don't know what we're going to do because depth-wise, on defense, we're hurting.
Well, we had what we needed.
Yeah.
And maybe a little less than what we needed.
We still have both our veteran defensemen, though, that we picked up, right?
Well, Ballard.
Ballard's out with the... Because he also took...
That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Took a puck to the face, didn't he?
I think he's out with concussion.
I totally forgot about that. That was... okay.
So no, that's where it really kills us, you know?
Yep, that does. That hurts losing another good defenseman, doesn't it? Good. Yeah.
So
never
you know.
Mind.
So you know that Prosser's now going to get some ice time, and you got to figure that there's a good chance that
Scandella will probably get some more.
Scandella has been getting some good time. You got to figure though that Dumba might be here to stay because you know the Wild are going to need him.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than anything. I mean, because
I'm looking at our lineup right now, and it's not looking very.
And you look at who's in Iowa and. Defensively, we don't have a lot.
Pretty weak.
Yeah.
Dumba, is that a bad thing?
I don't think so. I mean,
I like Dumba.
I was stoked when I actually saw that come through that he was going to be at least playing to see if he got his position up here right away as opposed to being instantly assigned.
He's still a young kid, and he's going to make some mistakes. But if you have him on the third D pairing, his opportunity for giving up the puck is going to be pretty limited. And when you got Suter and, well, whoever is going to be Suter's partner now playing half an hour a game, it'll probably be Spurgeon. It'll probably be Spurgeon.
I would guess Spurgeon. I don't think Stoner is going to get moved up. I see Stoner maybe staying on the second line.
Well, and even talking about...
Stoner, Scandella on the second line?
Makes sense.
Talking about that Predators game, Spurgeon did totally save it from going into overtime.
God.
And he almost ended up sodomizing Harding with the blade of his stick.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
Because the puck was already behind Harding in the five hole, and Spurgeon got back there before it crossed the line.
It was sitting on the goal line. I mean,
it was on the goal line and about to go in, and
Spurgeon
shot it right back through the five hole and out.
I think Spurgeon's getting little man syndrome, too, because, I mean, he got a boarding call for hitting, I forgot who it was, in the...
Oh, God.
In the, the what, not Florida game, the
Lightning game.
Lightning, the Tampa Bay game against a guy who's like damn near twice his size.
And in this game, he had a brilliant hit. I mean, he went flying because he's tiny and stuff, but he leveled a dude who had a foot on him. It was amazing. And it was beautiful.
I think he took some hitting lessons. Maybe Clutterbuck actually showed him some stuff before he left. But I mean, who knows? I'm beginning to really like Spurgeon. I am.
I liked Spurgeon. I know there were a couple of times I talked a little trash on him, but not nearly as much as
he's looking pretty solid.
I know I actually argued in his defense when you guys were both lighting me up, going, "Really, who else do we got?" Also, some friends of ours that drink at the same bars that we do, or maybe manage those bars. Not naming any names, Pete. But
I think he's a solid kid, and I think he's definitely growing into the position. Is he a number one D man? Maybe not.
I think he has the potential.
He probably does. I mean, I've seen enough.
He's still young enough, and he's got the potential, and he's proven it.
He's basically playing as our third goalie right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's not the first time we've seen him into the crease when someone's out of position or something like that.
His defensive awareness is great. And he plays it the position more like you'd expect out of, say, the Red Wings.
Yeah. No, he's been impressive, and the only problem with... Well, it's great that he's probably going to get a chance to play in the first D line with Suter. The only problem is we've got no defensive depth, and that's going to be the most troublesome thing if Brodin's out for an extended time, and if we don't get what's his head back, Ballard yeah. back. Yeah,
I'm kind of curious because he's got to have. Of course, I can't find the stats with Spurgeon. I've seen him block so many shots, too.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I cannot find... I mean, well, hell, he's got 17 shots on goal right now also. He's got the same amount of shots on goal as Heatley has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, with a higher percentage, because he actually has a goal and three assists.
Yeah. We are talking about one of our best blue liners right now, even though we were saying that he was kind of mid-range. No, he's actually one of our best blue liners. Think about it that way. He's got 17 shots on goal. He's got three assists, you said, and a goal already?
Yeah, I actually...
For a defensive-minded defenseman.
And he's tied with Suter for second amongst D-men in points.
The impressive part about
Brodin
that...
Brodin was number one, though.
Ouch.
The impressive part about that, his goal is the power play goal, and two of his assists were power play assists, which means he's playing well on the special teams.
Right.
Very much. And integral to our special teams at that.
Absolutely.
Which, yeah, they're doing all right. They're not doing great.
I'm actually going to bring this up. I'm going to, just spitball this one, but I'm going to actually say, speaking of our special teams, I will say the one thing that's actually killed us is the power penalty kill. Has not been very good, and I think we're amongst the last in the league on penalty kill. And I think that's going to be one thing that the Wild need to look at improving if they're going
to
get anywhere.
That used to be the only thing we were good at.
Right.
Back when we couldn't do
anything.
Well,
that was the Lemaire
era. Didn't have any. Yeah, we had the best penalty kill in the league.
And it's been spotty. I don't know if it's a matter of the players that Yo's selecting. He's not selecting Healy for the penalty kill, so... We can't dump on him. I do see Konopka out there a lot.
Well, because Konopka's a face-off winner.
Yeah.
You want a center that can win the face-offs, take control.
Well, we're still losing them.
Yeah.
Well, and here's another thing. Since we were also assuming, a lot of people were kind of nervous about Matt Cook coming to the Wild. And a handful of people were going, he's cleaned up his act. If I remember correctly, he's got, six penalty minutes? One of those being a double minor from the game last Saturday. If I remember
Cook?
Correctly.
Right.
Yeah, Matt Cook having a double minor on a high-sticking call against...
But outside of that, though, he's been playing super clean.
Then he's had one other minor, and, yeah, he's been getting assists. He's been playing clean hockey and playing good hockey, which... Yeah, the one thing I had somebody else say is, just because he grew up doesn't mean he's still not a douchebag.
Yeah. You know, well, here's my thought with the high sticking, because everybody will get a high sticking call.
Right.
All stars, bruisers, you know, it's not like instigators. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's not like he's out there Bertuzzi-ing people. You know,
no. So violent and dangerous. It wasn't a high stick across the back of some dude's head. He wasn't punching some dude in the back of his head. A high stick happens accidentally on, usually not on purpose.
It's a good enough
but
one
it's because
for him to
you're
get
not
the double though.
Well, that he's a strong enough. He's a strong enough guy where if it hits you in the face, there's
it's
a good
probably
chance
gonna draw blood.
Right.
And
so,
yeah, just because it was a double doesn't necessarily mean it was worse than a single. It just happened to draw blood.
And
oh, nerds.
yeah, we are. But oddly enough, he's actually playing a lot cleaner than I even expected. And
no,
I just wanted that to be noted that I even thought he was going to... Yeah, I was a little nervous about him coming in. And so I thought he'd be getting a lot more penalty minutes at this point.
You know what? I'm looking at the top three guys for forwards and the defensemen right now on the Wild's page. Koivu, Parisi, and Cook all have 6 penalty minutes. So you look down the line and it's 6-6-6. But
nice.
Yeah, he's got the same amount of penalty minutes as our captain and one of our alternates.
Nice. He has cleaned up his game quite a bit.
You know, he's
does
he's actually
make up for his past.
Sucker! Competitive violent. That's why you're here.
Him and Justin Fontaine are leading with the plus minus with the plus 5 right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a good job of it and making sure to settle it down as he gets into this part of his career.
And yeah, I'm liking Matt Cook. He's growing on me.
He's the guy you love to hate when he's not on your team.
Kind of like Clutterbuck.
Exactly, and he's cleaned up his game, man. What the hell?
Well, and if we're
almost disappointed.
and if we're talking about,
this is a small sample size as well.
This is true.
True. We're what, 10 games in?
There was also Cook didn't have any majors last year either, so that should be noted.
Yeah, no, and that was something that I had also brought up whenever it was like, he's still just rah rah rah. No, he's been cleaning up his game. Yeah, I haven't seen his name in the Shanabans for a while.
But if we're talking about guys that have maybe not even a checkered past, a checkered present, Konopka.
Oh yeah.
I want to take note that Konopka, he was in a fight just last night actually. I don't know, you could call it either way, whether he won it or not, doesn't really matter. But I don't know how you guys feel, but he has yet to score a point this season. He didn't score any goals last season. He's now gone. Okay, he's now gone 389 minutes of ice time with the Wild, and he doesn't have a single point. That's no goals, no assists.
You are one pathetic loser.
Nothing. He's averaging over 8 minutes of ice time with the Wild since he's been a Wild player, and there's been 28 goalies in that same span that have scored at least a point.
You know, you got a very valid point. Now, the only defense I have for you, which is not a good one, I will admit this. I'm just going to be devil's advocate on this.
Okay.
Has there been a single game this year so far that he hasn't gotten into a fight on?
Yes, there has.
Okay, just checking.
Because
I think every game I have seen or listened to or checked out.
He tries to, I mean, I think
or
a
heard
majority
about the next
of them.
Day. Yeah,
majority of them he's been in a fight.
I want to say there's probably been, if I was going to guesstimate it right now, it'd be about 8 5 for fighting so far this year out of the 10 games.
Right. Well, let's put
just
this,
like per like not if he had multiple fights in a game, I'm not counting that. I'm saying 8 of the games he got into
right.
a fight.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. His line has not scored a goal this season. And in my position is that
is he on with Heatley?
No. No, surprisingly.
You are one pathetic loser.
But I think your fourth line, even though you're not expecting it to be, you know, the crash the net and
no,
score a ton of
it's
goals.
Your checking line.
But you have to at least be a threat to score. If you're basically marking 8 minutes off a game where that team is not going to score, that's a problem.
He gets some good looks, though, and he does put some shots on net.
We're now.
He's not coming through with it. But think of how much we loved every time
Bugard. Shots.
he's got three shots. Okay. But there, the couple I saw were at least quality.
I disagree with that. But
all right. Go ahead and disagree. Fair Think enough. Of how much we rooted for Bugard to finally get a goal.
Yeah, but Bugard could actually fight.
Yes.
Point seated. All right.
Kanapka just turns his face into a punching bag and lets him go open at it, you know?
He'll occasionally make sure to bust somebody open, but yeah, yeah.
I guess my biggest issue is that there's not even a threat on that fourth line, and our third line's kind of coming around with Brodziak and whoever else might be with him at the time.
Healy is on that third line. No, is Healy playing two?
Well, there's
no. It's been Brodziak with Fontaine and Cook.
Yes.
Well, originally that's
you were right. Now Fontaine's on the first line, so things have been getting juggled around because
injuries and whatnot, and trying to make things work to get us a winning program.
But I'm just gonna say that something needs to happen. They need to at least be a threat. You know, even with Rupp scored a goal like in the second game with the Wild. You know,
well, and a lot of things we're talking about actually.
I miss Rupp.
Yeah, I miss being able to say somebody got ruptured.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think a lot of what we're talking about, and we're all being a little jaded just because we feel like we haven't gotten enough W's on the calendar and have had too many disappointments. I think that'll turn around. I really honestly do. It's just been a rough, rocky start on the first part of the season. I could totally be wrong on that.
Well, let's hope they turn around in these upcoming games.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
This week, they've got Thursday, they got the Hurricanes. The Wild are at home against the Hurricanes. And they got a home and home with the Blackhawks on Saturday and Sunday?
Monday.
Saturday and Monday. So, you know, nice action-packed week.
Yeah, it's looking at some of the stats right now. We got the same amount of points as Carolina, as the Canes do. Canes are 4-2-3, where the Wild are 4-3-3, playing one extra game. Goals for, goals against, well, a little bit of an advantage, I would say. Not by much. But
mainly in the restricting goals category.
Restricting. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be a good matchup.
I'm trying to remember, is that a home game or not?
Nah, yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right, so the ice will be good. I really got to say the Wild are taking that one. But just because Carolina's, come on. The bigger thing that you were bringing up.
How are they going to do against the Blackhawks?
Oh, God. Home and away.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Against our new new division rivals.
I'm kind of foreseeing a split.
Our old division rivals.
Our old new.
Old new old.
I kind of foresee a split on this, to be quite honest. I think Chicago's going to win in Chicago. Wild are going to win in Minnesota, personally.
The only way the Wild are going to win is if they score more than two goals. That's what I'm going to say.
I mean, is Crawford still in net for Chicago right now?
Yeah.
That's going to be tough getting past him, but I don't think they're going to play Crawford both games, although who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I guess if they play in the first one, depending on how he does. But
that'll probably be the chance for Yo to put Backstrom in there.
I was going to say, what do you bet Backstrom's been sitting in the wings and Yo hasn't let him skate because he wants him out there for the Blackhawks?
That could be. But since we're speaking of Blackhawks.
We got to get to the game of the week because apparently somebody was plugging in. Somebody hacked my Twitter feed and told these guys random picks that weren't real for me on our game of the week. But somehow I won last week.
It was that weird translation from Kabibukistan here.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
The internet gods are not liking you.
Kabibukistan.
Fair enough. But
I like it.
I had the closest last week, so I'm picking this coming Monday.
Well,
should
we recap last week?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? Let's see. What was last week? I ended up winning. Apparently, you guys translated that to three. Actually, I sent it in Korean. Why didn't you guys use the right translator? 3-2, Wild winning. Aaron had 2-3 with the Predators winning. Jive had 4-3, Wild winning. Kenny had 4-2, Wild winning. So,
Aaron, you care to explain the point system?
Yeah, I'd like to know the point system because I haven't heard it yet.
We sent it to you. Did the translation not get done right?
It was in Korean. I couldn't read it.
So, basically, you predict the score. For every goal you're off on the wild side, you're minus or plus two. And then for every goal you're on the off on the opponent's side, you're plus one.
And we're going golf score.
So, lowest wins.
Lowest score wins. All right, lovely. Are we doing an aggregate towards the end of the year? I don't think with that scoring system that we should do an aggregate.
Nope. We're doing a weekly basis. So, at this point...
And winner gets to pick the next game. That's game of the week,
this is true.
Yes, I am mighty.
So I've won one.
Just a fun little bet.
Yeah, I've won one. Josh has won one. So we're both sitting at 2 points. You know, all win a piece.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Wild White Jersey Night Monday, the 28th, when they're playing at home against the Blackhawks as my choice for game of the week this coming week. The home game against the Blackhawks. Gentlemen,
what was the
enter
score?
In your... I haven't announced one yet because I get last pick since I'm the winner from last week.
Oh, yeah. So, Aaron, I believe you'd be going first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with... Oh, man. See, last week I picked Backstrom was going to play in the Predators game, and that's why I thought the Wild were going to lose.
Well, that would have been a valid reason.
And now I'm worried that I'm going to pick the Wild are going to win, and they're going to start Backstrom and screw me twice.
Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me.
But I'm going to still go Wild win 3-2. God, I hope they don't start Backstrom, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Jive.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. The way the season's been going so far, I really don't think they're going to pull it off against the Blackhawks. I honestly got to give it to the Hawks. They're a solid team. As much as I'd like to be a homer and see the Wild win, I got to take the Blackhawks winning 3-1, even here on our home ice.
Kenny?
Wow, Aaron, I'm kind of agreeing with your score. But to keep things interesting due to a matter of sportsmanship, I'm going to go with a Wild win with a score of, let's go to 3-1.
All right. And even though I picked the game thinking it would be, initially I was like, this is the one they're going to win. And then I went, no, they're going to go down to United Center and just beat the ever-loving snot out of the Blackhawks at United Center. And, then come back here, and it'll be 4-3 Blackhawks favorite for my pick for that Monday night. And it'll just be a home ice disappointment after a road high.
Wow, I think this is the most random that we've gotten.
It's been definitely the most diverse choices.
I think this,
most
this will also be diverse, the breakout. I do say it. One of the reasons I wanted that game is I do think it'll be the breakout where we're going to start scoring. Like, people that haven't been finding the twine will start to find it. Things will start to gel, even with the lines getting juggled. People will start to find their stride, and we're going to start to turn the corner. So, even though I'm predicting we're going to lose.
Well, because 3 goals for the Wild is a lot of goals at this point.
Yeah. Except they're playing Dallas. Which I actually got the 5 points on that one. But why? How did I not win that one? I don't know. So anyways.
I got nothing. All right, kids. Thank you very much for listening. We do have a Facebook page, of course, which is facebook.com/3inthebox. We also have a Twitter under the same handle.
Yep, @3inthebox.
Exactly. And, yeah, you can follow. This is Meat Beast, and you can follow me on Facebook /TheMeatBeast. Yeah, because we're real original like that. We make it hard for you to find us. But thank you very much for listening.
I don't want to be found on Facebook.
You can reach me on Twitter @AaronGNP. You can also check me, Kenny, Jive out, our band, at pinrot.com.
Kenny.
You can follow me on Twitter. That's not as creepy as finding me on Facebook. @RottenK999. And, also, as Aaron said, with Pinrot.
Jive.
Yeah. And rounding out the Pinrot crew here,
covering the hockey in the state of Minnesota is Jive, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
All right. Thank you very much for listening, folks. We'll keep coming at you the whole rest of the year. Hopefully we'll have some fun stuff in. We've got fun stuff in the works for you that we've got planned. We're just trying to make sure we can execute it properly. And you'll start hearing about it very, very soon. Keep on listening. We'll keep making the shows.
Holla!